evening. I'd like to call to order tonight's meeting of Bethlehem City Council for Wednesday, November 4th, 2020 at 7 p.m. here in Town Hall. We'd all please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. The clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Callahan?
Present.
Mr. Cologne?
Present.
Ms. Cramsey-Smith?
Present.
Ms. Negron? Mr. Reynolds?
Present.
Dr. Van Wert?
Present.
Mr. Waldron?
Present.
It's a light turnout here in Town Hall this evening. It's myself and Mr. Bodoni, but I hope we'll get through it tonight. Moving through our agenda this evening, seeking approval of the minutes for September 15th. If there's no comments, the minutes will stand approved. And moving to public comment, for any subject not being voted on this evening, and first public comment, we have two names previously signed up. I will first be calling Mr. Andrew Brown, followed by Lisa Rosa, and then at that point open it up to anyone else who'd like to make comment this evening. Council?
Yes.
Hello.
Hello.
If you please would give your name and address for the record and then proceed with your comments to City Council. And please, if you would, keep in mind we have a 5-minute time limit. Thank you.
Yes, my name is Lisa Rosa. I live at 1110 Mechanic Street. I have recorded something to Bethlehem Police about a car that had been parked with a rug in a gas tank. They have called because it was on housing property to housing. Now, this was months ago, and nothing had been done. And then I called and spoke to someone who was on the housing board, and car still sat there, and I spoke to someone from the mayor's office, the car still sat there, and I spoke to someone on city council about it, and was told that they trusted in the police and that they would do what they were supposed to. 8 months later, the car got tagged 2 weeks ago, and it was red tagged a few days ago. And this was after I had put it on social media. My question is, why do we have to wait till things are so far past to do something about it? Do we have to wait till a catastrophe happens before something's done about things, instead of doing something when things are first reported? I mean, 8 months is a long time to wait, and if some kid were to lit that rag in that gas tank, I mean, it was where the Pipel homes are, where the elderly people live. If that car would have blown up, there could have been a huge problem there. And I kept reporting it. You know, I don't understand why it took this long to finally get something done. I mean, I'm doing my best as a citizen that lives here who has been working with, who has worked in the past with, at the 911 dispatch at City Block Watch for 8 years. And I reported something that I felt was a safety hazard, and it took this long to get something done. I mean, am I the only one who sees that this could have been a catastrophe? That's basically what I wanted to say. I mean, I'd appreciate an answer, but if that's all I'm going to get, then fine. I'm just concerned because things shouldn't be left like this. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. Opening up the line now to anyone who would like to make a comment to City Council on any subject not being voted on this evening. The number to do so is 610-997-7963. Does anyone who'd like to make comment to council this evening on any subject not being voted on, as well as any subject that is on our agenda this evening, any resolution or ordinance to be voted on? Good evening, Bethlehem City Council.
Yes, this is Bruce Hines. I'm trying to turn down my street. Bruce Hines, 63 West Church Street. Good evening.
Good evening, Mr. Hines.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Please proceed with your comments.
Okay, I have two tonight. Number one, I'd like to thank Darlene Heller for bringing back the ordinance that is going to close the loophole regarding first floor retail in the Central Business District. You're going to read it into the record tonight. You're not voting on it, but I just want to thank her for fixing this. This was one that was out there, and it's very important for our downtowns to truly have first floor retail for the shopping and dining experience for tourists, and not have offices or residential on our first floor Main Street or Broad Street retail space. So I really want to thank her for bringing that forward and encourage all of you to support that ordinance. And if you have any questions about it, I'd ask you to give me a call, because the DBA highly supports this ordinance revision. Amendment. And then secondly, I really want to, at the last meeting, the parking authority talked about the Walnut Street garage. And Councilman Van Wert really pursued a great line of questioning. The Walnut Street garage, you know, was built in 1975, but it was built like a brick house, let's put it that way. It was over-specced and over-designed for the times, and it's way overbuilt relative to beam construction or beam demands for load versus today's specifications. So this garage is built to last forever. I believe the garage should not be torn down. I believe that it it is not in the kind of bad shape requiring a tear down. And I think Desmond is very conflicted to be doing the design work or to look to establish the repair costs. Let's put it that way. I believe you really need seriously need a second opinion, because their interest is to overstate the cost of the repairs to that building, because their main objective is to build new garages. So I really think you need somebody that deals with garage repairs to assess the report. In 2018, Desmond, just 2 years ago, said that the cost to repair it for over the next 20 years would be $9.5 to $11 million. And now they're saying, as I recall, that he'd need $12.5 million just for the first 5 years, and then perhaps another $8 or $9 million for the 20 years. So they virtually discredited their own report from 2 years ago by dramatically increasing the estimate of the cost of repairs. So I would suggest you consider Dewey Engineering. They're the ones that manage our garage, which is 10 years older at the hotel, built with the same over-spec designs relative to today's steel beam requirements. And they also do repairs for garage in New Jersey. They're a local engineering company. I'm only recommending them. I'm not saying it has to be them, but you really need, I truly believe it would be irresponsible to not have a second opinion about the cost of repairs to the Walnut Street garage. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, I'm finished.
All right, we got it. Thank you, sir. Have a good evening.
Thank you.
If there's anyone else who'd like to make comment to City Council, the number to do so is 610-462. No, that's not right. That's my phone number. Don't call me. 610-997-7963. Tired. If anyone would like to make comment to council on any subject on our agenda this evening or any additional subject, this will be the last opportunity to do so tonight at 610-997-7963. On with our agenda this evening. Is there any old business for members of council? Communications 6A.
Memorandum from Deputy Fire Chief Craig Baer with an attached proposed ordinance amending Article 1501 titled Fire Safety and Code Enforcement Inspection Fees.
I'll accept a motion in a second to schedule a public hearing on the proposed ordinance for Tuesday, January 19th, 2021 at 7 p.m. at the start of the council meeting.
Second motion.
Motion by Mr. Clone. Seeking a second.
Second. Second.
Thank you. Second by Dr. Van Wert. If the clerk would please call the roll on the motion.
Ms. Cramsey-Smith.
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds.
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 6-0. A public hearing has been scheduled for Tuesday, January 19th, 2021 at 7 p.m. at the start of the council meeting. The meeting will be live streamed on YouTube on City of Bethlehem Council. Communication 6B.
A memorandum from Jody Evans, Recreation Director, with a request for council approval of a multimodal transportation fund grant application. A proposed approval resolution is attached.
Resolution 10B is on the agenda. Communication 6C.
A memorandum from Tina Roseberry, Housing and Community Development Administrator, detailing proposed amendments to the city's CDBG Home Citizen Participation Program. A proposed resolution is attached.
Resolution 10B is on the agenda. Is it 10C? I'm sorry. Yeah, pardon me, 10C is on the agenda. Communication 6D.
A memorandum from William P. Leeson, City Solicitor, with a proposed approval resolution for an amendment to tower lease agreement between the city and Allentown SMSA Limited Partnership, doing business as Verizon Wireless.
A resolution will be placed on the November 17th Council Agenda. Communication 6E.
A memorandum from Michael Alcall, Public Works Director, recommending a contract with Traffic Planning and Design, Inc. for construction inspection services related to the South Bethlehem Corridor Connections Project. The cost is $55,122.96, and there are no current renewals.
Resolution 10D is on the agenda. Communication 6F.
A memorandum from Darlene Heller, Director of Planning and Zoning, with an attached proposed zoning ordinance text amendment to revise the first floor commercial storefront requirements in the CB and CL zoning district. The amendment clarifies that the requirement applies to buildings in the CB and CL districts, irrespective of upper floor uses. The amendment also loosens the first floor requirements in CL zoning district to allow a broader range commercial uses, including professional offices.
We'll need to schedule a public hearing again to review this, and I will accept the motion as second to schedule that public hearing on Tuesday, January 5th, 2021 at 7 p.m. So, motion by Dr. Van Wert.
Second.
Second by Mr. Colon. If the clerk would please call the roll on the motion.
Ms. Cramsey-Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. It passes 6-0. Public hearing has been scheduled for Tuesday, January 5th, 2021 at 7 p.m. The meeting will be available on YouTube. Communication 6G.
A memorandum for Matthew Deschler, Assistant City Solicitor, with a proposed resolution authorizing the city to execute a lease with Celco Partnership, doing business as Verizon Wireless. The proposed lease governs the installation and operation of small cell wireless installations in the city.
Resolution 10E is on the agenda. Communication 6H.
A memorandum from Councilman J. William Reynolds proposing a resolution urging the Pennsylvania General Assembly or Lehigh and Northampton counties to allocate $1.3 billion in unspent coronavirus relief funds to support small businesses and those within our vulnerable communities significantly impacted by the coronavirus pandemic, such as economically disadvantaged communities and students, restaurants, and minority-owned small businesses.
Resolution 10A is on the agenda. Reports. I have no reports as president, but have a report for our committee of the whole meeting that happened on Thursday, October 29th, 2020. Discuss administration presentations on the interaction of the police department, the health bureau, recreation, and the Department of Community and Economic Development. This meeting was for informational purposes and no actions were taken. Moving on to reports. There's one council matic appointment. 7A.
I hereby reappoint Lauren L. Spezial, 1423 Main Street, to membership on the Bethlehem Human Relations Commission. This appointment is effective until March 2023. The resolution to confirm is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion? Mr. Colon?
Thank you, President Waldron. As we've talked about over the last few months, I've been a member of the Human Relations Commission for 6 years now or so. Ms. Spezial has been on the HRC. Her involvement predates my involvement on the Human Relations Commission. She served as the chair of the commission for a number of years before this calendar year, and I think she brings a great deal of not only driving behind what the goal of the HRC is, but in her professional life, serving as she's one of the few, or right now maybe only, attorneys who actually has legal perspective on the HRC as it relates to some of the matters that we discussed. So I'm glad to see Ms. Viziao's reappointment, and will undoubtedly be supporting this tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kwan. Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
thank you. I had to ask Mr. Bodoni and Mr. Colon to reach out to her and see if she would be available for tonight. Is she available for tonight's meeting?
I believe not, based on my communications with her.
Okay, thank you. I'm sure she's done a very fine job in the past. I'm sure that she'll probably be getting overwhelming support tonight from everybody, but I will not be supporting her due to the fact that when I tried to send a wage equality ordinance for equal pay for equal work that would protect minority women, Ms. Pizzialzi was one of the driving forces that did not want to deal with it. She did not want the issue to come to her, you know, committee or commission. And because of that, I will not be supporting her tonight. Thank you.
Are there any other comments, questions? The clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Nay.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 5-1. Moving forward, reports. Mr. Mayor, I think you're represented by Mr. Evans this evening.
There are no reports from the mayor tonight, Mr. Waldron. Thank you.
I think we would, if you don't mind, have like an update on how the Christmas tree selection is coming along.
It's not in the stand yet. I'd have to check with Mike Alcall. I could try and contact him during the length of this meeting and report back to you on. You're talking about the one out front, the 40 footer?
40 plus, if you don't mind.
40 plus, okay. Yeah, I know Greg Kreider, as you know, we talked at length about the search for trees and the future of doing that, and those becoming more difficult. And he was struggling, so let me reach out to Mike as you move forward to the meeting and see if we get an answer for the progress on that.
Okay.
The base is set up, but you may have seen that coming in the base and everything was dropped off in preparation for delivery.
Yes.
But I'm not sure the status. Okay.
It can wait a couple weeks. Thank you.
Okay.
Dr. Van Wert, do you have a report this evening?
Yes, I do. The Community Development Committee met on Thursday, October 22nd at 6 p.m. in Town Hall. The committee held the annual Financial Accountability Incentive Reporting Hearing required by Article 349 and reviewed economic development incentive reports submitted by the administration. The meeting was for informational purposes only. No action was taken by the committee. The reports will be posted on the city website in the near future. The committee also reviewed a proposed draft zoning ordinance text and map amendment related to the proposed creation of student overlay district and including other provisions to address student housing, dimensional requirements, and accessory structure regulations. This item was for informational purposes only, and there was no action taken.
Thank you, Dr. Van Wert. Mr. Reynolds?
Thank you. The Finance Committee met on Tuesday, October 27th. The committee agenda included the following two agenda items: amending the general fund and non-utility capital fund adjustments related to COVID funding, and amending the Community Development Block Grant Home Budget adjustments related to CARES Act funding. The committee passed motions on each agenda item recommending approval of the proposed budget adjustments and to place appropriate legislation on a future City Council agenda. The budget ordinances are on tonight's Council agenda. Thank you, Mr. Waldron.
Thank you. We have no ordinances for final passage this evening. We have three new ordinances to consider. Ordinance 9A.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh, Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2020 General Fund Budget. Bill 24-2020 is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron? Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Ordinance 9B.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh, Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2020 capital budget for non-utilities, Bill 25-2020, is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Ramsey Smith.
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds.
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert.
Aye.
Mr. Callahan.
Aye.
Mr. Colon.
Aye.
Mr. Waldron.
Aye. It passes 6-0. Resolution 9C.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh, Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2020 Community Development Block Grant Budget, Bill 26-2020, is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Cramsey Smith.
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds.
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert.
Aye.
Mr. Callahan.
Aye.
Mr. Colon.
Aye.
Mr. Waldron.
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolutions. Resolution 10A.
Now therefore be it resolved that the City Council of the City of Bethlehem urges the Pennsylvania General Assembly to allocate the $1.3 billion in unspent coronavirus relief funds to support those within our vulnerable communities and businesses impacted by the coronavirus pandemic, such as economically disadvantaged communities and students, restaurants, and small businesses, including minority-owned small businesses. And to be it further resolved that in the event the unspent coronavirus funds are allocated to county-level governments in the Commonwealth, the City Council of the City of Bethlehem urges the Lehigh County Board of Commissioners and Northampton County Council to quickly allocate the unspent coronavirus relief funds to efforts in support of vulnerable communities and businesses impacted by the coronavirus pandemic, such as economically disadvantaged communities and students, restaurants, and small businesses, including minority-owned small businesses. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Reynolds and Mr. Colon.
Discussion? Mr. Reynolds?
First of all, thank you. I had sent out this memo, and thank you, Mr. Brownie, for helping me to put this together. I think we've probably all seen the kind of upcoming situation where there is this $1.3 billion that is sitting in Harrisburg that was dedicated by the federal government for COVID relief. And it's, as I think we've also probably seen, the situation is if the legislature doesn't come up with something to do with it by the end of the month, that it's going to get allocated then to the counties. And, I'm not sure when the legislature is going back into session. They couldn't count ballots early, so I doubt they can find a way to do $1.3 billion here. But it's the situation that it's going to be the counties are probably going to get this money. And there's obviously, as we saw with the money that we got, there are certain requirements for how to spend this money. And if the money that is included here, the $1.3 billion, that's twice the amount of allocations that the counties got in the first round when Northampton County had like $27 million to give away. So you're not dealing with a small amount of money. And I think, like a lot of things, it's a situation that if there is awareness and if we are on top of it as a community, we're going to be able to allocate and use these dollars as effectively as possible. I think at the last I was at the committee meeting where I had applauded the administration, and I would again for their ability to apply for the first round to get the city some needed resources and to get that money out to our small businesses and to be able to help with a lot of things that we've talked about before. So it's a situation that I know we're all busy, but I think it's just something for us to keep an eye on. If we see that this money is going to the counties, emailing, contacting county administration, our county council members, because I think the quick turnaround on the money, where it's got to be spent by the end of the year, is going to preclude any type of new application process. So it's not going to be a situation where they're probably going to be able to get money and then, say, okay, we're going to have this application process to award it. I almost think that the only practical way they're going to be able to get the money out the door is by almost doing a second round of what they did earlier. And I think that the two kind of the two areas that I think that are the best use for this would obviously be the small business community and also our vulnerable populations. I don't think that, we are in a position necessarily to tell the county exactly what to do as far as how much to put in different directions, but I know they're very busy and they have a lot going on, and I think that Northampton County did a fantastic job with the administration of the election. But this is a lot of money, and I think that anything that we can do to act as a conduit with the small businesses that we hear from every day and the vulnerable populations that we are aware have suffered through COVID, if it's it's in their best interest. So I wanted to bring this up more than anything else as an education initiative, and you know, I will be contacting county executive and county council members, but I think it's just something that would be important for us to keep an eye on, because like I said, it's rare that you ever see this type of money that comes along to fit the need. And obviously we're talking about a couple dominoes falling here, but it's got to be a priority, I think, for us. So I certainly could take any questions, but that was kind of my thought process behind this, that's why I brought it forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Reynolds. I think we all appreciate the proactive nature of doing this and advocating on behalf of our city. So I think you'll have everyone's support this evening. Is there anyone else who wants to make comments or questions? Mr. Ramsey Smith?
I just wanted to say thank you to Councilor Reynolds, because I agree, it really is imperative that we get this money out as soon as possible to help those that are adversely affected by the pandemic. And I couldn't believe it when I saw that, you know, if we wait, we may be waiting, the state may be waiting until like December 1st, and then the money has to be used within 30 days, and that really will be a barrier, I think, to really efficiently using that money. So thank you, Councilor Reynolds, for this resolution.
Clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10B.
Now therefore be resolved by the City Council of the City of Bethlehem that the grant application for the Multimodal Transportation Fund from the City of Bethlehem to improve and expand the Monocacy Way Trail is approved. That the mayor and the controller and the City of Bethlehem are authorized to provide the necessary assurances and certifications to the PA Department of Transportation for the grant execution and implementation. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Cologne and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion? I was happy to see this come through. I think the Monocacy Way that leads from Union Boulevard to Burnside Plantation and beyond to Elks Mill is one of the hidden gems in the city, and continually gets washed out under big storms. I know the city tries their best to upkeep it, but putting some real resources there, I think, is something that might help it attract more attention and more support in the future. Any other discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds? Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10C.
Now therefore be it resolved by the City Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Citizen Participation Plan for the City of Bethlehem, dated December 1995, is hereby approved. That a copy of the Citizen Participation Plan be filed with this resolution, and the Citizen Participation Plan, as amended, can be viewed in the City's website. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Cologne and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion? Please call the roll.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10D.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the mayor and the controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the city solicitor are hereby authorized to execute a contract or amendment with Traffic Planning and Design, Inc. for construction inspections related to the South Bethlehem Corridor Connections Project. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Cologne and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10E.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the mayor and the controller and or such other city officials deemed appropriate are hereby authorized to execute a lease agreement with Cellco Partnership doing business as Verizon Wireless for the installation of small cell wireless facilities on city-owned and operated poles. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Cologne and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion? Clerk, Clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10F.
Certificate of appropriateness under the provisions of the Act of the Pennsylvania Legislature and Bethlehem Ordinance is hereby granted for 4 West 4th Street to strike the condition of Resolution 2020-168 that the box signs cannot be internally illuminated. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Cologne and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion? Ms. Carter?
Hi, thank you for giving me an opportunity to speak. I wanted to give a little bit of background to the council. I had sent an email earlier today, but thought it would be beneficial to talk about it during the meeting. This is a project that first went to the HCC in September. There was a certificate of appropriateness recommended, but it required them to not illuminate the backlit sign. So this is one of those older box signs on the side of La Lupita. And the reason they were requesting a change to the design of the sign is because the sign that's there is currently peeling, like the letters are peeling off of the plastic. And so they had put forward a design that we in the city thought was a really good design. We decided to support it with a sign grant through our sign grant program, but HCC recommended the box remain unlit. With moving into the time of year where it's dark, more than it's light, the owner, Fred Rooney, went back to HCC to appeal the decision or the recommendation to not illuminate that sign. We supported him at that meeting, but the members continued to insist that their dislike of the backlit signs was important enough to place a restriction of 1 year on the recommendation to City Council. The cost of the sign and the limitation to 1 year, which would either require them to completely redo their entire sign package or turn the light off after that 1 year, was something we thought was worth asking council to not include in the certificate of appropriateness, to allow them to turn the light on once the sign was replaced. At a time of COVID, when we know that businesses are struggling to stay in business, and the attention that a new sign would give them, they felt was significant enough that they wanted to appeal this to council. Now, Mr. Rooney would be here himself. He had a conflict because it's a Wednesday night meeting as opposed to a Tuesday, and I assured him that I would communicate the support of the city and the desires of Mr. Rooney on behalf of La Lupita to change the sign out, to make improvements to the sign, but to appeal to council to remove the restriction of 1 year in which the sign's got to be replaced again. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Carter, do you know the reasoning that the HCC said they didn't like the backlit? I guess more specifically, is there guidance somewhere in writing that says not to approve that or try to have hand-carved signs or something that's lit with a gooseneck? So I guess that's my question.
Yeah, so their guidance, and I don't have it in front of me, it's not a yes or no scenario. It's an encourage the removal of black backlit signs. So it doesn't specifically prohibit backlit signs, but certainly at the time of change of tenant or a facade improvements to a business, they try to remove all of those backlit signs. So, you know, again, I can't quote you the language. It's not so, they certainly wouldn't approve a new one. It's all about removing those existing backlit signs on the south side for HCC. But the language is vague enough that it doesn't say there's no way that they could approve it. And so if you look at the resolution, the documentation provided by the historic officer, I mean, they very much are trying to not set precedent. You know, it's in the middle of a pandemic. This shouldn't be looked at as, you know, something that they're going to allow business or property owners to rely on. These are unusual circumstances. We're in an unusual time. And so, you know, they're trying to cover themselves to ensure that this is not going to be the normal request for new businesses moving forward.
Right. So it's your thought, the administration's thought, that is to remove paragraph 2D, is that correct?
Yes, the 1 year time period on the backlit sign.
Would you...
The thought of having to replace the sign in a year if they're not able to eliminate it, honestly, it feels like a bit of a waste of our dollars as a sign grant and a waste of the money put in by the property owner.
Is there any other members of council who have any questions for Ms. Carner or have any comments? Mr. Callahan?
Thank you. So Ms. Carner, the restrictions in that historic district, it's discouraging it. It's not written that they can't do it.
It is encouraging property owners to replace antiquated backlit or box signs, as we commonly refer to them. You know, it's framed in a box. It's a plastic insert that goes in the frame and is illuminated from behind.
Right. So that area of the historic district if you could email it to everybody on council, I'd appreciate it. But isn't it a lot less restrictive than the Main or Market Street Historic District, as far as a lot of it is?
It is. It's a conservation district. It's not a historic district. And while arguably over the years the members, particularly because there are some members that are on both the north side and the south side board, have struggled to differentiate between those two differences between a historic district and a conservation district, arguably some of the decisions look very similar, but you're right, Mr. Callahan, there is a difference between a conservation district and a historic district.
Could you forward that to council? I have the one for the historic district because I'm like 50 yards from it, but could you send us the one for the, it covers the south side and Manor, correct?
Yeah, I think it's Article 1349 or something along those lines. It's one of the ordinances of the city that talks about it being a conservation district.
All right. Yeah, but I mean, as far as what the conservation district, guidelines are.
Sure.
I mean, no rush. I mean, whenever you get a chance, you know, just copy and paste it twice, because I would like to read it over just to see what the differences are. I know as far as the historic district on Market Street, it's very restrictive, which I think is a great thing. It actually tells you exactly what type of paint colors you're allowed to use and not use, and I mean everything, all the signs, which I think is a great thing for that area. But I never really did see or understand or get a chance to read the guidelines for the other two historic districts. So, you know, whenever you get a chance, I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Certainly.
Dr. Van Roer?
I just want to make sure I understand this. They currently have a dilapidated box sign that's illuminated, and it needs to be replaced, and the city is going to help replace it with a sign grant. Is that what you're saying?
So it's not the entire box that needs to be replaced. It's only the plastic insert in the front of the box. And so there is a, you know, ability to slide a new sign in, and that was the design that was part of their package. So the whole structure is not being replaced, which is why the cost is more reasonable for them, you know, frankly, to put in the new plastic insert than to replace the entire box. So yes, the city is willing, as a result of what our businesses are going through, to support the replacement of that frontage sign, because the existing sign is peeling and the letters are kind of coming off of it.
So for the city to replace it with a sign that would be illuminated, that would be historically appropriate for the Conservation Commission, that is cost prohibitive, is what I'm understanding.
That's correct.
So we're settling for pretty good, basically.
Yeah.
Not great.
The challenge with removing the existing box sign is that there's additional facade improvements that would need to occur to the two sides of the building because of the way the sign's been mounted. which then you know, lighting and all of that starts to really add up. Frankly, the property owner's been open publicly about how he is going to contribute the difference between the sign grants and the remaining amount that is the cost associated with this, because the business owner isn't in a position to do it right now during the pandemic. So we are settling for pretty good.
Thank you very much.
Ms. Ramsey Smith.
Thank you. I just want to get clarify this too. So we're looking at, if we take out, if we delete number 2D, it could still be the box sign and it would still be illuminated and there would not be a 1 year deadline then?
That's correct.
Okay. But the historic, the HCC really wants to get away from the box signs and wants to get away from the illuminated signs. Is that correct? Okay.
The box signs, it's really about being lit from behind. Now, they do allow some backlit signs that can direct you to other ones that are more recent, like a Southside 313, but it's these older, boxy, I guess 1950s style, maybe 60s, I'm not sure what year it was put up, but that doesn't have some kind of elements that meet the historic conservation district guidelines.
And this would just be more economically feasible in light of the pandemic for the owner of the business. Is that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Thank you. Thank you.
Off the top of my head, I would have to think there's more than just one box backlit sign on the south side in that the immediate area in that conservation district. I can't, it's not as if this is the last and only holdout. So I would think that this is something that we could compromise on. Mr. Colon?
Thank you, President Waldron. I would agree with your most recent remarks here that we're not adding anything new. They're not installing a new box sign. They're just fixing what's falling apart currently. Given the circumstances and the cost and such, to Dr. Van Wert's point, we're settling for pretty good. Instead of having them rip up the wall and do these facade improvements, just pretty much beautifying what's coming apart after who knows how many years, and just pretty much putting a new version of the same. So I would be in support of that, and I would even be willing to make the motion, if there's no other comments from other members of council, to delete section 2D from the resolution in front of us, from the certificate of appropriateness in front of us, deleting that section.
Motion by Mr. Colon. Is there a second?
Okay.
Second by Dr. Van Wert. Discussion? I would just add that typically in my understanding of working in the Northside Harb District, is that when things are replaced in kind, they typically don't need approval. Anytime I'm painting a house in that area and we're painting the same colors, we don't seek approval. And if this is replacing a sign with essentially the same sign that is newer, I wouldn't think that it would even need to go to the HCC for permission, because you're essentially grandfathered in. And I do see the note in 2A that grandfathering inappropriate signage is not typically taken into consideration when assessing certificate of appropriateness applications. However, if it's already there, it's difficult to say that you can't have it moving forward. So I would support the motion by Mr. Colon to eliminate 2D. Any other comments? Clerk, please call the roll on the motion.
Mr. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Any comments on the amended resolution? Clerk would call the roll on resolution 10F.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10G.
Certificate of appropriateness under the provisions of the Act of the Pennsylvania Legislature and Bethlehem Ordinance is hereby granted for 13 West Morton Street to construct a new four-story brick residential building. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Cologne and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion? Here we are approving a new four-story building. It's passing with, you know, two full pages of recommendations by the HCC with essentially no discussion, but yet we are micromanaging a small sign again. Feels like our priorities may not be where they need to be sometimes, but
I agree.
That's all I have to say. Clerk, please call the roll.
Pardon me, President.
I'm sorry, Ms. Cramsey-Smith.
I just have a question. I guess, do we have any idea, it's going to be a residential building? Is it for students, or do we have any idea the purpose of the building, or who the clients are that will be residing there? And that's pretty close to Lehigh, so I'm assuming it's probably for students.
Ms. Carner, do you have information on that?
This project has been around for a long time, and it was originally proposed for students because of location. I'll be frank with you, I did not attend this portion of the HCC meeting that was held, I think, last month to hear if there's been any changes. So it's my assumption that that remains a student project. You can tell by the name Lehigh Properties what the target audience is.
And I do remember this building shrank a bit over its years down to now four stories.
Yes, it's been on the agenda more than once for both you and HCC.
Okay, thank you.
The clerk will please call the roll.
Ms. Cramsey-Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 6-0. New business. 2021 budget meeting schedule. We'll accept a motion in a second to set the date for the adoption of the 2021 budget for Tuesday, December 15th, 7 p.m. in Town Hall. Seeking a motion. Motion by Dr. Van Wert.
Second.
Second by Ms. Cramsey-Smith. The clerk will please call the roll on the motion.
Ms. Cramsey-Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 6-0. And we had now finally set our 2021 budget meeting dates and topics, and due to COVID-19, Town Hall will be closed to the public, and comments will be taken over the phone, which would be the typical approach for council meetings. You can find those instructions on our city website, as usual. The first budget meeting is scheduled for Monday, November 9th at 6 p.m. Budgets will be reviewed on that evening include the Fire Department, Community Development Block Grant Fund, Community Economic Development Department, and the Police Budget. The second budget meeting is Thursday, November 19th at 6 p.m. That evening we'll look at Public Works Department, Liquid Fuels Fund, Stormwater Fund, Non-Utility Capital Fund, Water Fund, Revenue and Expenses, Water Capital Budget, Sewer Fund, Revenue and Expenses, and the Sewer Capital Budget. Our third budget meeting is scheduled for Tuesday, November 24th at 6 p.m. And we'll be looking at the Golf Course Enterprise Fund Administration, Council, Mayor, Treasurer, Controller, and the Law Bureau, General Fund Revenue, General Expenses, Civic Expenses, and Debt Service. And our final budget meeting, if necessary, is scheduled for Thursday, December 3rd at 6 p.m. to review the final budget. We have to reschedule any of the budget meetings. We have a backup budget meeting scheduled for Tuesday, December 8th at 6 p.m. If anything spills over or due to inclement weather that essentially Mr. Bodoni and I can't snowshoe our way over here. So that's our schedule for the budget, and all that will be posted on the city's website. And on that note, I'll turn back to Mr. Evans for an additional announcement.
Thank you, President Waldron. Sorry I missed this one earlier, is that on the topic of budget season, the mayor will deliver his budget address at the annual chamber event. That's tomorrow morning. It will be in virtual format, very small, in live attendance, but it will be recorded. It'll be a live stream that's advertised for free, both on City Hall Facebook and the chamber Facebook pages if people want to watch it live. It'll also be recorded and posted to our city website. And the mayor will then deliver his budget address directly to the council at the next council meeting, which is on, of course, on November 17th. So that's the one. The other item was I was in communication with Mike Alcall, and yes, rest assured, the tree has been secure. They don't have a delivery date, but the tree is secure. Okay, that's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Evans. Any other? Pardon me, Mr. Callahan, do you have an announcement?
Thank you, President Waldron. I would like to announce that tomorrow the Human Resources and Environment Committee will meet on Thursday, November 5th, 2020 at 6 p.m. The committee will discuss the long-awaited proposed ordinance establishing a new article for the codified ordinances titled Wage Equality. Due to COVID-19, town hall is closed and public comment will be taken over the phone, and comment instructions will be posted on the City Council meeting webpage. So I'm looking forward to that, and I'm also looking forward to any amendments. I will be proposing a couple amendments, which I will be talking about tomorrow, but I'm glad that we all finally got to this point where we can at least have a meeting and have a discussion about it. So I thank the committee members. Also, Mr. Evans, can you let us know as soon as possible how much 4 positions for firefighters cost the city?
Sure. Yeah, we'll be talking about fire, as President Waldron mentioned. Fire is a topic for Monday night, so we can go for it at the budget as we discuss that department.
Thank you. I had several phone calls today from union members, not only with the fire department but other unions, about the possibility of the mayor cutting 4 firemen positions from the next year's budget. And I think in a time of COVID, and our first responders and public safety are probably dealing with more than anyone else is dealing with right now, and how we could, I know the budget's tight, but I think it's something that we really need to seriously look at and have a discussion about, if that is what the mayor is going to be proposing, to cut public safety. And I would also ask that, can you find out on the funds? I know that something came through today on the pedestrian bike bridge. As far as there's 40, I had proposed last year, I think last year's budget, it was the $40,000, and I think I was seconded on that by Dr. Van Wert. So I was the one that originally came up with the idea of proposing that $40,000. And I think if you check the record, you'll see that, Mr. Colon. I want to know if the other money that is appropriated, the other grants, whether we could use that money for something else. I just think I have some video of the 3 bridges that cross the Lehigh, and there's a walking space and biking space on all three of those bridges, and it is hardly ever used at all. And I just think spending $140,000-$150,000 on a study of which will only lead to a couple to $3 million bridge, and that is only if we get the air rights over the railroad tracks, which is probably never going to happen. I just think that with public safety and everything that they're going through as first responders, I think it'd be a total waste of money for us to put that money into a specific pedestrian bike bridge when there's three bridges already spanning the Lehigh that is really not being used on a regular basis that much. So I think that we have to put our priorities in order. And I did like Councilwoman Paige Van Wert's idea with maybe that money could also be used towards getting Wi-Fi and broadband throughout the city of Bethlehem instead of wasting it on a pedestrian bike bridge over the Lehigh River. So if you could get us that information, I'd appreciate it on those grants and whether it could be used for other items. I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Any other new business? Mr. Cologne?
Thank you, President Waldron. At last week's committee of the whole meeting, it had come up about having a public safety committee meeting to review some policies, procedures specific to the police department. And I had voiced at that time that I would be in favor of that. We're going to be looking at having any public safety committee meeting after the new year, after discussing it with the administration and as we get into budget season, just the constraints of town hall coupled with our new police chief, Chief Cott, getting prepared for her first budget season. We will be having a public safety committee meeting, but it won't be taking place until sometime after the new year. The agenda for that meeting, as of right now, and I'm sure it'll grow as Chief Cott looks at any kind of realignment or changes she wants to have to the department. But my goal and intention would be to review the police response policies and procedures as it relates to dispatch and response to various calls, as well as police hiring and promotion policies, and touching on what the Civil Service Board's involvement is as it relates to hiring in the police department. So that's something that will be announced as we move forward in the weeks to come, but it won't be occurring until after January 1st. And then second, I just wanted to, in the last couple of years, City Council had passed our ordinance decriminalizing marijuana. Not going to go over the issues that we face being split between the two counties and the two district attorneys, but as I think most people are aware, there was an election yesterday in this country, and 15 miles to our east, our neighbor New Jersey voted to legalize recreational marijuana. So sometime in the near future, not only will another state will be completely legal for people of a certain age to use recreational marijuana, but 50 miles from here, people will be able to do it, while in the state of Pennsylvania, it'll remain an ungraded misdemeanor. So it's only a matter of time in our lifetimes before PA gets on board. We've already discussed again at length some of the challenges we face as a municipality trying to decriminalize it, but I hope Pennsylvania gets on board as more and more states, especially those surrounding us, give people the right to do something that, as I've said before, people are already doing. So, thank you, President Walter.
Thank you, Mr. Cologne. Ms. Grancy-Smith?
I wanted to just bring up an issue that was brought up, I guess, several months ago, and I was going to ask Councilman Cologne if we can add to the agenda of public safety, because I think that would be where it would be appropriate, the issue of fireworks. And I guess it is relevant to noise. I spoke to, I don't remember, Mark Kelly was the, he's in sixth grade. He came and spoke to us, I guess, a couple months ago about the issue of fireworks and how adversely affects those especially with PTSD. I spoke with him as his mom yesterday, and he really is interested in us pursuing it. As he said, his mom said, I mean, fireworks is still an issue as recently as last week. And this little guy really had a lot of, or young man had a lot of great comments. I mean, I think that we really have to look at it. The fireworks issue in the last year has gone out of hand significantly in the city. and there are many people that are adversely affected, people with PTSD, children with processing disorders, children on the autism spectrum, not also, we don't want to forget about our animals and our pets. And I know I've just talked to probably everybody that I know has been adversely affected by these fireworks, and the people are just continually are shooting them off, especially at all hours of the evening. So I'm hoping that maybe we could address it. Maybe I could speak to you further, Councilman Colon, about how we can handle that issue. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Ramsey-Smith. Any other new business this evening? Seeing none, this meeting is adjourned.